listening to the best of the Browns.
Ball game over! Browns win! Browns win!
A weekly mix of 92.3 The Fan's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
It's a big day for the Browns. Another big day for the Browns. They trade away Kenny Pickett. I wanted them to trade away Kenny Pickett. One, because I thought he was gumming up the works. I thought he was there gumming up the works. And you know what? And I'm going to get to a couple of calls here. But the Dylan Gabriel stuff. Like, I don't want to. There's some people who are becoming a little bit defensive on Dylan. I don't have anything against Dylan. I just don't think there's a ceiling there that tells me I don't have hope, I should say. Like, there's still some, and it's probably unrealistic. You guys can go, Ken, Shador was terrible on Saturday. What are you talking about? Yeah, it's a little bit unrealistic. But if I had to bet on either one that they were going to become great, I'd probably take Shador just because of the limitations that I think that Dylan Gabriel has. Doesn't mean Dylan Gabriel can't draw a pension. Because I'll tell you what, Shador, I don't know if he's a pension quarterback, pension player in the NFL, but I think a guy like Dylan Gabriel, yeah, I mean, you could see Dylan Gabriel in a preseason next year with either the Browns or somebody else, the year after that, the year after that, the year after that, like he could be around for 8 years.
I was really surprised at a lot of the, I almost think that as the pendulum continues to widely swing from one side to the other on these things after Shador's first preseason game. Of course, he didn't play in the second. Then we get to the third. And I thought Pickett had good moments, just like I thought Shador had good moments.
Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah. I thought Gabriel had good moments, just like we saw Shador have good moments in the first game. But I was surprised to see how many people said, that's it. That's the draft pick. That's why he went third overall. I'm like, I'm seeing a fraction of the talent. Like, if we were talking about profile, he's going to get compared to Kyler Murray because of his size. And I'm like, man, I think Kyler Murray has way more talent than Kenny Pickett. Why are people using this performance to act like he's catapulted to the future starter of the Cleveland Browns?
I think that there's people who
would bet against that.
I think there's people who are exhausted with it. I think they're exhausted hearing guys like me get excited about a guy like Shador. And I think they want to go with somebody who's a little bit more classic. I know he's not the tallest guy out there, but he's more of a classic quarterback. He's played a lot of football there. And Shador's played a lot of football, too. But he's played a lot of football. He's been in some big games, some real big games with big outcomes, big meaning to him. I mean, Shador's been in some nice games and big regular season games. Dylan Gabriel's had to play in the playoffs and has been forced to play well in Big Ten championship games and things like that, and SEC games and things like that. Like, it is a different animal that Dylan Gabriel has had to play in. I have to admit that. So I think that they look at it more of a classic quarterback and going, okay, can I just get rid of the craziness? I think that's what some people are tired of, is the craziness. And I respect those feelings.
Yeah, but does any of that mean you're going to be good?
Like, no, I don't know. I don't think so.
Fine, take the circus that Shador brings to the table. Okay, fine, but...
All right.
Does anybody, like, were we going into the draft thinking Dylan Gabriel is a future starter in the NFL? Was anybody saying that?
No.
So why are you saying it now? What have you seen from Dylan Gabriel?
Because I think it's a punchback to the craziness, and I have been a participant in it, the craziness of Shador.
But I think they're firing back at it. But I also saw people going after Daryl or Zach Jackson, or anybody that was telling you how bad Gabriel was, even though everybody that was around was saying, man, Gabriel was...
Yeah, but those are the guys that we've had on. But we've had those guys on, and they've been vocal about it.
But the people going after them, because now he's second on the depth chart, Dylan Gabriel, I'm like, that's not, as the kids say, the flex that you think it is. Like, how many teams would Dylan Gabriel be the backup right now in the NFL? How many teams?
Well, that's interesting because
are we the only one?
I made a great big fight yesterday, and there were some people who definitely pushed back on me when I said this is the worst QB room in the NFL, and I should have said this is the best opportunity in the QB room in the NFL for Shador Sanders. And if that's the case, it's still the best opportunity in the NFL for Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah, sure. Sure. What other teams would be lining up to make Dylan Gabriel their backup quarterback
right
now?
Don't you think one of the teams that's very secure in quarterback would bring him in?
Oh, you mean
to draft him late round?
Oh, yeah, but not to be like, hey, if our guy goes down, right. No. Like the Chiefs, if Patrick Mahomes goes down, Dylan Gabriel, the season's over. Like you probably as the Chiefs, you're probably not going
right
anywhere.
Now as their backups.
Are you serious?
Who? Yeah.
So the season's over.
Yeah.
If Patrick goes down,
but wait a second, I've seen Dylan.
But that's how it's been.
I've seen Gardner Minshew play well plenty of times. Right. Like I don't have anything.
I mean, they did it with Chad Henne. Give us a game. Give us a quarter. Right. They did it with Carson Wentz. Give us a game.
That's what you're hoping for. Like, if a guy's out for a season, if Josh Allen or Mahomes or like, if they're out for the year, like, that's it. Done. Like, you can't, maybe you'll find a Scott Mitchell in there or a Matt Castle or something. But, man, for the most part, especially now with today's quarterbacks, we're playing more than ever.
Unless it's week 18 and you can go, yes. Let's rally around the kid for 4 weeks.
And there's fewer great quarterbacks than I think there have been. Then I think that you're going to have yourself a significant problem in there. But, no, Owen's right. Like, Chad Henne, like, yeah, can you give me two games? While we get this toe figured out, Gardner Minshew, can you give me a couple of games while we get this other shoulder issue figured out? And maybe you're hoping the same thing for Dylan Gabriel, but probably with a team that's not going to be starting all over with a new quarterback, as the Browns seem to be on a collision course to do. I want to be fair to Dylan Gabriel. So that's why, like, I don't push back on the stuff with what people are aiming at with Daryl and Zach with us. People listen to us. Those guys have been on the show. Those guys have been firmly on the record about how bad they look, and they can stand by that. Because we'll find out more with Dylan Gabriel. But I'll tell you right now, with Dylan, the results on the field from what we've seen in the preseason have not been what we've been reported to about what's happened in practice.
Yeah, but
those have been better
but
results.
Also, the stuff I've seen in the preseason don't indicate to me that he's ever going to be a full-time starter in the NFL. What am I seeing? What is everybody else seeing that I'm not
seeing?
Again,
I think that is probably a wish more than an actual expectation.
Yeah, there were some nice, I saw people talking about the layering of this ball, and I'm like, okay, maybe on a few throws, Dylan Gabriel, you're like, whoa, okay, you saw some arm to justify him being drafted. But I also think you could see that from like 80% of the quarterbacks in preseason can all make a layered throw. Like that's just a fraction of what needs to be seen to ever sit there and pronounce that a guy's going to be a future starter in the NFL.
Jim in Syracuse, New York, listening on the Free Odyssey app. You're next up on the Fan. Hello, Jim.
Guys, I really feel like, you know, I don't see Kenny Pickett winning three more games than Dylan Gabriel. So why not roll the dice on the younger guy?
I agree.
He has performed well in the preseason. I just don't see Kenny Pickett bringing any more value to the Browns in 2025 than Dylan Gabriel, particularly if he gets five or six games under his belt where he's learning as the backup. If something happens to Flacco, let's roll the dice and see what the kid can do. I agree.
When it comes to Kenny Pickett, I agree. If you would have said the same thing about Shedeur Sanders, I would have agreed. Again, I think that Kenny Pickett was a dam clogging up the water, and I wanted to, and thank you for the call, Jim. I wanted to see the other two rookies if it's not going to be Joe.
Me and you were on the same page, totally, but remember, it was Nathan Zagura. He's 15-10, right? He's only, how old? How old is Kenny Pickett?
26.
And he was, his profile coming out of the draft was actually much better than Dylan Gabriel.
And when we talk about QB wins, QB wins is a valid stat for backup QBs. It is, I'm not going to be like Mina Kimes about it and go ripping on QB wins when it comes to starting quarterbacks. I totally agree with her on that. But when it comes to backup QBs, you want to give me 15-10? Yeah, I'm going to make myself feel better. When my franchise QB goes down and Kenny Pickett has to come in and I'm sitting there shaking my glass of whiskey and you go, hey, Kenny's 15-10. I'm going to go, okay, I'm feeling a little bit better about that. That's what you say for backup QBs. Not a guy who, hey, this guy could end up being our version of Sam Darnold or God knows who. Nobody... If media was saying that,
so do you
it's
think,
off base.
Do
if
you
fans
think
were saying
Dylan,
that, I think there was probably
think
few and
Dylan
far between.
Gabriel could go 15-10 with the Cleveland Browns over the next 25 games?
I think Dylan Gabriel can go 15. Gabriel can go 15-10 through his career is what I think Dylan Gabriel can.
So you mean not on the Browns, but
not
on other
with
teams?
The Browns, because he won't have the chance to play that many games with the Cleveland
Browns. That's interesting because, I mean, the caller was kind of saying, well, I have more faith that Dylan Gabriel. Why wouldn't you go with Dylan Gabriel? It's like, well, I don't know that he's going to be better than Kenny Pickett.
And Dylan Gabriel will be a backup here until the wheels come off of Joe, and then he will be the backup for the starting quarterback next year.
Yeah.
That's what Dylan Gabriel is going to be. So through the course of an 8-year career, Dylan Gabriel might be 15-10 or 10-5 as a starting quarterback in the NFL. But there's nowhere on earth that I see him being a franchise quarterback. That's not being mean-spirited. That's just being truthful. Let me get to Jay in Akron. You're next up on the Fan. Hello, Jay.
How you doing, Ken?
Doing okay, Jay. Go ahead.
Good. Well, I don't think you should be throwing Gabriel under the bus so quickly. We had Pickett penciled in as the first-string quarterback. He got traded to Oakland to the Raiders, Las Vegas now, for a fifth rounder. So we have Flacco's going to play. He's going to play till he either gets hurt or the Browns are totally out of it. Then let Gabriel see what he can do. You know, he's got a blank sheet of paper record. Let's see what he can do.
Well, I'm fine with him now.
Sanders there as the third string quarterback. If he was the fourth quarterback, Sanders would have been on non-dressing.
Yes. Well, that's the entire argument that we're making here, especially in the same thing with Jim in Syracuse called in. Like, I don't need to see Kenny Pickett. I'd rather just see Dylan Gabriel and his play in the preseason in the game against Carolina the game against Philadelphia, I should say. And then in the game on Saturday against the Rams, it did make me feel better. Like, all right, we could see what he has. I don't think he's a franchise QB. I'm not going to turn it around just because you're on the phone and you're a nice guy. I don't think he's a franchise guy, but it's like, hey, again, if I play him this year, as of right now, Jay, I think you, me, Lima, everybody, and I thank you very much for the call. I think we all agree that our quarterback right now is in college football. So I got no problem in letting Dylan Gabriel get his fair share coming up. I hope that he is able to do somewhat of what he did in the preseason, because then I want to feel better about the pick. Because we're not out of the woods with the guys in charge right now. And if they're going to be around next year, which you can't guarantee me that they will or won't be, so if they are, I want to feel better about Dylan Gabriel. And I want to feel better about the guys in charge. So I want to see Dylan Gabriel and see if he was worth a third-round pick. Like, at the end of it, I can go, hey, man, you have an 8-year career. You go 15-10 as a starter in the NFL. Yeah, you're definitely worth a third-round pick. Definitely as a QB.
We just heard Mary Kay Cabot saying she wouldn't have made the deal. Like, Kenny Pickett to the Raiders for a fifth-round pick? And, Jeff, you agree with that, don't you?
Absolutely. You know why, Andy?
I'm good with it.
Do you have a quarterback?
Yes, Joe Flacco.
Really?
Yes, Joe Flacco.
I know Joe's the guy. I know, right? He's starting. I get it, and that's fine. But are you really convinced that there's a quarterback on this team who can win football games for you? I don't know. That's why, to me, finding out about Flacco or about Pickett would have been worth more than getting your fifth rounder back.
I don't know. I look at longevity for this organization since 1999. You've had two quarterbacks that have had starts in four consecutive years since 99, Baker Mayfield and Tim Couch. They're the only ones that have, I mean, Joe's looking at being a handful of guys that have had, you know, three seasons. Oh, I'm sorry. If he can stick around through next year, it would be, if you're trying to look a little long-term on Joe, maybe it's just a one-year deal. But if he did, then he would be 3 and 4 years if he was able to stick around for next year.
You know what I really hope? He has to stay healthy. And which, by the way, he's done throughout most of his career. Mm-hmm. If you take a look, he like barely missed a game when he was in Baltimore. He's very...
reliable?
He's been lucky health-wise. And sometimes you get lucky health-wise, and sometimes you're just a big, strong guy, and you don't get hurt very often. I hope that's the case, and I hope he's effective. I do. I just think you run the risk of putting either one of those rookie quarterbacks out there way too soon and having this thing just go south in a hurry.
The first thing I thought of was DTR, because now you're set up for a DTR situation. You're set up for a DTR situation. You're 100%.
But one thing, though, Andy, if you're going to throw a fifth round pick out there at quarterback, if you're going to throw a third round pick out there at quarterback, and I know they're now just members of the Browns. I'm the guy who's been saying that.
Right.
But clearly these guys were not the upper echelon guys in this draft. And that to me, and that's not a knock on their ability. What it is to me is be patient and develop them. Give them a chance to succeed. And that's, you know, I'm higher on Dillon Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders than I was on DTR.
I'll buy that. I am too. I mean, I agree with that. I also, if it goes sideways, it's going to go sideways quick. You know what I'm saying? And
if they can run the ball and play defense, Andy, they're going to be in a lot of games as long as Joe doesn't throw it to the other team.
So Dillon was the fifth quarterback picked in the draft this year. So, and Jalen Milroe, who a lot of us thought might be the right guy, was only, what, two selections ahead of him.
Might be two real big picks.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, you just don't know. I just think the Browns have a game plan. They know what they want to do. I think, you know, Mary Kay didn't necessarily agree with us when it came to Deshaun Watson. Would you say she didn't disagree, but she didn't agree?
No, I don't think she disagreed. But her point is, it could be deep into the season before Deshaun Watson's ready to play football again.
Yeah, but the other part I thought, Jeff, you brought up was that she said it was a mistake, that they shouldn't have done this trade.
I wouldn't have done it. I wanted to see what Kenny Pickett could do here. He was the guy that I was most hopeful could actually become a successful quarterback. And my thought would have been this, Andy. If you play him and he's successful, he's the guy you hang on to. You pick one of the rookies and you go into next year's draft with Pickett and one of the rookies at quarterback. And then you draft a guy. And then Pickett could play quarterback until the guy was ready. And if it's Gabriel, you develop him as a backup. Maybe you trade Pickett, whatever you're going to do. But next year with the number one, you're going to need a veteran quarterback to bring him along. And I think to buy time to give that kid a chance to get ready to go, Flacco could be that guy. I thought Pickett would be a better guy to be that fella.
If Flacco's not going to work out and he's your starting quarterback, I'm ready to turn the page to see what you have already. I didn't need Kenny Pickett in the way. I like Kenny Pickett. I just didn't need him in the way of watching Sanders or Gabriel develop on the field during a game. I understand that the need that I don't want to throw a rookie out on the field either, but if Flacco doesn't work and he seems to be the answer for trying to win this year, and if he doesn't and it doesn't go the right way for him, Gabriel and Sanders are just sitting there ready to go. Give them the opportunity. Give Sanders an opportunity. I'm down with it, man. I'm good with it. Give Gabriel the opportunity. Let him go if, for some reason, Flacco can't play, because you absolutely have to figure that out. What's the rule of the season, Dan? What's the number one goal? Is it not winning? It's not losing? It is?
Find the quarterback for 2026 and beyond.
And there you have it.
He's playing in college this year.
Maybe. Wouldn't you like to be wrong? Wouldn't you like to be wrong on that?
I would, but I don't think I am.
Okay. Let's go Steve and Lyndhurst, home of those brush arcs. Hi, Steve.
Hey, you couldn't have said it better, man. I mean, I'm all, as a fan, doing this, watching these teams 45 years. This year should be all about finding out which one of these young men going to be our franchise quarterback. It shouldn't be about Joe Flacco, because let's be honest. If the Browns sign Joe Flacco, he'll be backing up another quarterback somewhere else. I mean, that's just the reality of it. Pickett, Pittsburgh bust, two other teams didn't play well. So the Browns brass understands that their future may lie in Dillon or Shedeur. I don't care which one. But we have to give these young men an opportunity to show that they can handle an NFL offense. And give us something promising going into the next year. I'm not expecting much out of the Browns, but I can accept as a fan that you are investing in young quarterbacks to see what we have for the future. I get on board with that 100%.
All right, Steve, thank you. All right, that's a good sign.
But see, that still describes Kenny Pickett, too.
I don't know. I mean, I just don't know. We didn't see him. We never had an opportunity to watch him battle to say that he was better than Joe Flacco or not. We'll get the opportunity to watch him play in Vegas when that arrives.
I read a story out of Pittsburgh today that said the reason that he asked to be traded and blah, 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 blah,
in Pittsburgh.
And they said, you know, how he handled the Russell Wilson signing. And that's what did him in there. So maybe he overreacted and everything else because Pittsburgh didn't hang on to Russ. Maybe he'd have still been in Pittsburgh. And I don't think you can call him a bust in Pittsburgh. He was in a an offense that got the offensive coordinator fired, and he went 14-10 and didn't put up great numbers. And again, I'm not here to tell you that Kenny Pickett's a great quarterback. I don't know. I just wanted to see him. That's it. I just wanted to see him.
I did too. I'm not gonna lie about that. I did too. Let's go Kevin at Cuyahoga Falls.
Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Good. Couldn't be finer. We're waiting for the cuts.
Beautiful day here in Northeast Ohio, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Hey, I got to say props on you guys yesterday. The Mike Florio interview was really good. And I have to say everything he said about the Browns, specifically his take on our quarterback situation, I couldn't agree with everything he said even more. I mean, he was, to me, so spot on with his analysis of the Browns and the quarterback, although not overly flattering. I think all the truth that he said was definitely there, and I thought you guys did a great job with that interview, by the way.
Well, I thought he was great. I mean, he gave us insight that I think a lot of people were thinking, and then he just brought it out to the top of the ocean. So.
And aren't we all smarter when we listen to Mike Florio, basically, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
With that in mind, I can't say I'm a huge – I'm super happy about seeing Pickett go. I'm with you, Jeff. I mean, I think you and I have been eye to eye. We yep. wanted Pickett to kind of step up and be the guy and not have to go to Joe Flacco. So it's a little disappointing that couldn't happen. But this quarterback room is such a mess. They had to clear somebody out. I mean, it's ridiculous. Make your situation even worse by keeping four or more quarterbacks. And whether we all like it or not, another point Florio made is at some point, Deshaun Watson's going to be back, and he's going to show, what'd he say, show up with the paper from the doctor says I'm cleared to play, and then we're going to have to deal with that later in the season. So, we got to get off the quarterback merry-go-round. We got to get to somebody who we can look, if not this season, next to the future. And I think, like you said, is right. We got to see what one of these young guys, and maybe this is a sign that they think Gabriel is the guy they're going to groom and work on and bring him up. I mean, how else can it be other than that if they got rid of Pickett? One of the two guys, the rookies, has to be in their minds, I guess, a guy they think, okay, we can work with this guy, we can train him up, and we think we have confidence he can get on the field. Because if not, they would never have gotten rid of Pickett, I think.
I agree with you on that.
Yeah. Kevin, thank you. Appreciate it. Have a great day. The Florio interview yesterday, Jeff, I thought he said a lot of things, and they were all good. Go back and listen to it if you get the chance. You got 72 hours on that Odyssey app to go back and listen to some of the big interviews we have.
That'd be 3 days.
Yeah.
I could catch it on the podcast as well if you so desire anywhere you get your pods.
Thank you. Wow, you guys are like walking promos. You're awesome. Jim is in Strongsville. He's also awesome. Hi, Jim.
James.
Hey, guys, the 50-year Browns fan. Watch every game every Sunday. I have the full set of Browns glasses from the 80s from Burger King.
Oh, wow.
Good resume.
Yeah. Excellent resume, Jim. Excellent.
So, you know, there I am. Listen, I don't know. I'm not going to get upset about letting Kenny Pickett go. Jeff, I understand where you're coming from. It would have been nice to have seen maybe if he was a reclamation project, it could be brought back to life.
Right. I'm not upset about it, Jim. I just think, wow, really? Fifth round pick is all it took, huh? Okay. Maybe they know something.
The odds were against him being that. You've got these two guys on the roster, and I know we want to develop them. There's so many like contradictions in what the Browns say. We want to develop them. Well, guess what? You're probably going to take a quarterback in the first round next year. So develop. I mean, when are you planning on developing these guys? I mean, they kind of either have to be ready to play or they don't. And, you know, I get it. You're like, well, we don't want another DTR situation. Look, Andy, I get what you're saying, but the bottom line probably is DTR just wasn't good. He's probably going to be out of the NFL for good now. He just wasn't good. I'm not going to put that on the Browns playing him too soon. The guy played like 8 years in college. I mean, how many more years in college did he need or whatever to be NFL ready? And the Eagles cut him. He's probably done. I just think this is such a weird situation with the Browns and these quarterbacks because I don't know. There's no time to develop them. There's no time to whatever. You don't have a veteran that you're going to be like, hey, teach this new rookie next year the ropes. That's probably going to be a new guy unless you bring Flacco back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what the plan is here. And I'm not sure, you know, we get this idea that these guys have been given.
But Jim, hang on one second. Can't you see the plan? Doesn't the plan look like Flacco until it goes sideways. Give the rookies the opportunity to go out and play. They can boom or bust. If we've got to bring Deshaun back, we're going to end up bringing Deshaun back. Next year, we draft a quarterback with one of those first two-round picks and first-round picks, and then we move forward. That's kind of the plan to me. That's what it looks like.
Agreed.
I see that, but when you think about it, like I could see that. I could see that. I can understand that. I just knowing you're going to take, because I think everybody fully is going under the impression that the Browns were aiming at next year for a quarterback anyways. That's why taking two this year just really like.
I totally agree with that.
Dylan Gabriel, like it sticks in my craw. Like why? Why would you do that?
Why would you take Gabriel?
Yeah.
Why? Because they thought he was the best available quarterback at the time. That's what
Why take one? Why take one period if you're going to.
Well, because he could be your career backup. He could be your backup quarterback down the road too. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate you.
I've heard a lot of that idea of, well, you're probably going to need four quarterbacks this year. I said this yesterday. I don't think it'd be said enough. If by the time you get from Joe Flacco to Dylan Gabriel to Shedeur Sanders, if there's a need for another quarterback after that, probably shouldn't be a very good one, right? Like if for whatever reason you've gone to the end of the typewriter with this current quarterback room, one, if you want a veteran, there's a guy making about $50 million this year on the company dime you can just throw in there and give nary a bleep about what he actually does. And two, you're probably better serviced to get Dressler Wynn or whatever the hell his name was, the kid that stunk up
The joint. His name was Dresser.
He is awful.
I watched
get
that game.
Him for the week 17 start.
Where'd this guy come from? And then apparently he'd been on the Rams all of last year, too.
Yeah, no, he's a creative player. Somebody created him. They 3D printed him, and there he was.
Imagine having a kid and naming him Dresser.
All right, we've got Dresser, we've got
End Chair was
table.
Taken, yeah.
We've got Chase.
Armoire, come over here.
Actually, Armoire would be a pretty strong name.
This is how this starts.
Yeah, Armoire
This is how
win.
This starts. Someone gives credence to furniture being named after real people, and then we have a Dresser win
so
all of a sudden.
It's a slippery slope
this is how this
from
happens.
Armoire to Dresser.
Yeah.
I mean, Dresser win sounds a little bit trashy if you're
There's
asking
somebody,
me. Armoire
maybe
win?
That's where the conversation started. Someone
a future
was like,
president.
Someone was like, Armoire. And oh, I like that. Let's workshop this. What else do we see around the room? Dresser? Oh!
They never made it out of the delivery room.
Okay, then.
All right, what about the hospital bed? Nah. What about NICU unit? No. Right, I like that Dresser over there. Now, wait. Come back here. What was that like?
It's got a little bit of a ring to it, does it not?
Now, I think a fair, in terms of the overall quarterback process, meaning from the moment you actually acquired Kenny Pickett, to the moment you traded him, including camp and preseason and mini camps and all this. I think a pretty good indication that the Browns handled this in a way that actually might end up working out is how I don't see a single Browns fan actually happy about this. They're pissed that Kenny got traded. They're pissed that Kenny got too many reps. They think Shedeur got sandbagged. They don't think Dylan's ready to be the backup. They might have some doubts about Joe Flacco as the quarterback. I think that's a mark of a good sign that you've really stuck the landing as an organization when everybody's like, I just don't know about what they're doing here.
Well, what's funny is that they're not too far off from what I wanted them to end up doing, too. And even I find myself being like, all right, could they have done this better? Like initially, the entire time, I said Flacco into Sanders was my dream scenario. Now it looks like it's going to be Flacco into Dylan Gabriel. Do I love it? No. Don't really love it. And I think that kind of speaks to what you're getting at. That idea is that like it just there's too many options. Too many people wanted their options. And Flacco into Gabriel wasn't a lot of people's choices.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of split. I've said I wanted Flacco into Shedeur. And that somehow turned into a hot take because he was drafted a whole whopping round and a half after Dylan Gabriel. Because there's such a big jump there. But yeah, I mean, listen, I wanted it to go Flacco into a rookie. If we get into the minutia of it, which is treating Shedeur as an outsider in a three-man quarterback battle, really never bumping, really only bumping Dylan into a key position to steal this job, the backup job, because Kenny Pickett got hurt. I don't necessarily love the way we got here, but I can't necessarily complain about the outlet itself.
I think there's a lot of belief out there, and I think Jimmy Haslam speaking on this a few months ago, the idea that he wants to see both rookies play. I think if you like Shador, you don't have to worry about it. Shador will see the field at some point this year. And if you like Dylan Gabriel, he's going to be the second off the bench and he'll get a chance as well. And if he grabs it and runs with it, then as a Browns fan, you just have to root for him to be able to do such a thing.
Yeah, and I think at the kernel of this, the idea of who gets the first bite of the apple assuming that Joe has to relinquish the job at some point, I think there are some people like, well, of course Dylan earned this. I'm like, well, he didn't earn it. Outside of being better in the final preseason game, he didn't necessarily earn it by being better than the Shador the rest of the time when actual results come into play. And I do think, like, I think how Dylan looks whenever he gets that first bite of the apple, I think there is immense pressure and should be on him looking like he belongs when they actually turn the page to that, especially now that you've traded Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, I wonder about it because if by the time they go to him, won't the reality be that the Brown season is already shot?
I don't know.
Because like if Flacco keeps it afloat, then he probably won't lose the job.
I do think if he's turning the ball over a bunch and they're winning in spite of Joe, which the Browns have won in spite of quarterbacks before under Kevin Stefanski, would it surprise me if there was a, hey, we've got some momentum right now, but Joe's not playing the best? I think if you're the Browns, that's the sweet spot.
I mean, that sounds like a dream scenario almost in many ways.
For Kevin Stefanski specifically.
It's like the defense is number one defense in the NFL. They're putting up, they're creating a bunch of turnovers. They look awesome. And you just need a quarterback that is better than what Joe can offer.
And listen, I don't know that Joe's going to get the opportunity to show the full Joe Flacco experience. Meaning, like, I'm not talking about like number of weeks. I mean, Kevin might go into this and be like, we are not going to throw more than 30 times a game.
So I think that's some of the problems you have when you sign up for Joe Flacco. Like, it's not like, I don't think you get much of a choice in the Joe Flacco experience.
I bet you Kevin would beg to differ.
This is, you opted into the Joe Flacco experience. He's going to throw the ball a ton. He's going to throw the ball deep a lot. And that's how this is going to go down.
I think that makes sense for where Joe was, where the Browns were in 2023 when they pulled Joe off the street, because they needed to throw the ball 41 times a game on average with Joe, because everyone thought you can't throw the ball. So there was a huge opportunity in making plays consistently down the field. Whereas now, I think because the whole mission has been, hey, just don't turn the ball over. Could I see Kevin getting really precious with the amount of times they throw early in the season? Yes, and I think that could actually dysregulate Joe.
I think
Joe's best when he can actually go out there and sling the ball around.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's all gas, no breaks. And so I feel like, if anything, this would be the case that Stefanski would make. Like, hey, I wanted to reel it back in a little bit. I just needed somebody that would just hit the open receivers. We're not developing guys like Harold Fannin when Joe Flacco's throwing the ball 40 yards deep in the air and missing receivers. So, like, this, I have to go to Dylan now because I know that he can try to do that.
I think the turnover absolutely could be a part of this. I also think if you remove what makes Joe special and turn him into just another quarterback, which means you don't drop a lot of big plays for him to just go out there and wing it. If you do say we're going to focus on running the ball, which means we're not going to throw the ball as much, I think that is a way that you minimize Joe and create a situation where if he can't make up for the amount of interceptions he throws by big plays because he's only throwing the ball 30 times a game, that's a great way to kind of foster the environment to have a situation where Joe goes away and Dylan Gabriel comes up.
I feel like you run into problems when you put special quarterbacks or even just quarterbacks have been doing it for a long time in golden handcuffs. I thought Russell Wilson, this is what he's been telling everyone in New York at least, the idea that when he was with the Steelers, yes, they let him do the moon balls, but they just completely limited what makes Russ in his eyes. Now, I think we know enough about Russ at this point.
You see my smile there?
I think we know enough about Russ to know that this is it's a convenient excuse, but there is something to the idea that the Steelers' offense and how they do things does limit quarterbacks in certain ways. It'd be a fear that I would have with the Aaron Rodgers and Mike Tomlin relationship, but apparently that one is off to a better foot of the idea that, well, wait, we got Aaron Rodgers. We're not going to put any golden handcuffs, any shackles on him.
I think what makes this really fascinating is there is a fair amount of Browns fans who are, we're going to trust you on this. Hey, I got Joe Flacco starting week one, and that's what I wanted. Hey, I don't have to watch Kenny Pickett start at any point this season
for two so far.
All right. Hey.
Point the bad.
Dylan Gabriel's going to get the first bite of the apple because he's the backup, right? I knew we were going to lose you somewhere.
Just missed.
But I think there's a fair amount of fans going, well, I wasn't in those practice rooms. I don't know what I saw. That's the kind of thing you say in the preseason. Where we're getting to, though, is that you can't spin your way, you can't distract your way, or whatever it is, your way away from the truth. Either these quarterbacks go out there and do it or they don't, and there's really no way of spinning your way out of that once Browns fans are seeing this on Sunday every single week.
Yeah, and it's okay that it seems like the order is pretty well solidified in what it is. And I'd say for Joe and I'd say for Dylan, they both have an opportunity to never let Shador see the field this year.
Are you happy with how the quarterback situation turned out? 216-474-0092. At Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Paul Ross saying they got it wrong, or they got rid of the wrong quarterback. It should have been Shador. You just don't like Shador, Paul. It's okay. You just wanted to troll my co-host. That's fine. That's all right. If you think they should have gotten rid of Shador 4 months after drafting him, and you have a problem with getting rid of Kenny Pickett 4 weeks after acquiring him, I'm afraid you might not be hip to how the NFL actually works and what buys you time on rosters and what doesn't. Are you happy with how the quarterback situation turned out? And you're all cordially invited to Quick Hits in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
I want to know what the plan is, because if they were sitting on if they had another quarterback that was a sleeping giant, I'm going to take my bottom lip and I'm going to stretch it over my face, and that's going to be the end of it. Here's Aditi on 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. This is an argument about Kenny Pickett.
Who do you think has a better chance of being an NFL starting quarterback, Kenny Pickett or Shador Sanders? What would you say?
Kenny Pickett.
So then why keep Sanders over Pickett?
I can tell you, I don't want to insult anybody, but I can name starting quarterbacks in the current National Football League whose coaches have told me that Kenny Pickett is better than the guy that they are starting.
Okay, but why keep Sanders over Pickett then?
Because you used a draft pick on him. We've seen plenty of teams cut draft picks that they just drafted. There are plenty of questions associated with why you would draft a quarterback just 2 rounds after a quarterback that you very clearly liked so much, but that's what they did. And Andrew Berry is someone who has not been known to cut loose a guy that he just drafted. And so there you are. And now the development of these quarterbacks becomes yet another thing that Kevin Stefanski has to figure out and deal with amidst massive circus that surrounds anything and everything related to Shador Sanders.
The other side of this, that audio courtesy of our sister station, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. The other side of this is that if Kenny Pickett is better than Shador, maybe Shador is just garbage. And we just haven't seen it yet. We're hoping that there's some sort of get out of jail free card with our franchise that we can get past on a rookie contract with a young quarterback and not have to deal with the dead cap hit left over by Deshaun Watson. Where there was more videos of him, by the way, yesterday.
He is looking spry.
It's body shaping with Gallad every single day on Twitter.
Right there on the beach?
Yes. Lord.
It's him, Quincy Avery.
Every single day. Here's another video,
Bulageda, Ken. They're just out there going through calisthenics every day.
Meanwhile, 88% of fans polled by our station right now saying, nope, don't want to see him ever again. I'm telling you, I think they see that. They had to have seen that poll and Quincy Avery sitting there going, I'll fix your wagon. Here you go. Anyway. I mean, if you're saying that Kenny Pickett's good, again, what's your plan then? What is your guys' plan? Because it's nonsensical in so many ways. Like, if you're going to do it, I hate tanking. I hate it. I don't think it works. I really don't. There's teams that they're not good, and they happen to find themselves a good quarterback, but I seriously think that there's so many times where you go out of your way to not win football games, and it ends up biting you in the ass in football. Maybe not as much in basketball, but certainly in football, I think it does. And I hate it, but man, if you're going to go one way, you got to go one way. This is such a weird, like, you're trying to win games, but you're not trying to win games. We're getting ready for the future, but we're not getting ready for the future. You brought in Kenny Pickett. You took away some reps. Okay, but if you thought that he was going to be like a line and a starter, like, we had Andrew Siciliano yesterday on the preview show, and I disagreed because he's like, well, you know, they trade him for a fifth round pick. You know, you kick the tires on him. It's a net win. And I'm going, really, I don't know if it's a net win because I didn't think he was going to be a starter. And there was a brief conversation where me and some other people were going, well, he might have been in line to be a starter had it not been for the injury. And I'm thinking, okay, but it's still a hamstring injury. He's going to come back. It's not going to be Dak Prescott bad where he has to get surgery. At least that's not what we heard. So if he's in line to be a starter at any point sooner than later, or he could have actually won the job, why are you trading him?
Could it be, Kenny, and I am playing devil's advocate here,
arguably on the line.
Because you and I have the same feeling on him in general and what his ceiling is, and we didn't understand bringing him in to begin with, especially when a month later they go and get Joe Flacco. We didn't understand what that meant. Is this, devil's advocate, is this them understanding they've got to simplify, unclutter, declutter the quarterback room because it didn't work out? Like the way, and I know camp is different from the NFL, NFL actual regular game, you know, week preps, week in and week out. But is there a chance that they're like, you know, we had good intentions on this, but we can't have Pickett and Flacco here? Makes no sense. It gets in the way of the young quarterbacks.
Why does it make no sense? Yes, well, it does get in the way of the young quarterbacks, but if you think that that guy is flat out better than those guys and your objective is to try to win football games because you're trying to do right by your veterans and your own job, then you're not getting rid of him for a fifth-round draft choice. I don't care about fifth-round draft choices. I don't care about him. You may use another fifth-round draft choice for Amari Cooper at some point, but you traded him for him for a reason. And when you first trade him for him, remember, he's the first guy in the room. So there had to be some intention to start the guy. So you're telling your fan base that Dylan Gabriel is better and Shador is better by getting rid of him for a fifth-round draft choice. That's what you're saying. So if he goes out and he ends up being a good quarterback for the Raiders, then you have to answer for that. Because if Joe goes out there and the wheels come off the way they seem to do at the beginning of seasons for after the beginning of seasons for Joe, and you don't get much out of Dylan and you don't get much out of Shador, and then you have this albatross of a quarterback that's basically a body-shaping video every single day, then you're going to have to answer for that. Someone's going to have to answer for that, or the fan base is going to go nuts. Or they're just going to tune you out, which is the exact opposite of what they want. So you better figure something out, because I hate doing this. Because I'm supposed to come up with a damning opinion on everything at every single point doing this. And the only thing I can do is ask more questions. And I'm not saying anything by asking more questions because I'm frustrated. Over Kenny Pickett, of all people. When Aditi says that, Aditi talks to coaches. Aditi is no liar. Now, I think that she does like Kenny Pickett. I do think that. And there might be some, I'll say, confirmation bias, because if I have a thought and a coach, an NFL coach texts me during the show and says, hey, Ken, you're right about this and Anthony's wrong, especially that, because I love arguing with you. But if they say that I'm right about something, yeah, I'm gonna run with that as fast as I possibly can. So maybe that's a little bit of it. There's always every NFL player, every NFL quarterback especially, has some coach that's in their corner. Mike at North Canton, home of the Vikings. He's next up on the Fan. Hello.
Hey, good morning, guys. I think their plan is to run the ball and play defense because there's no top 10 quarterback available at this time. And why they brought him in, he got hurt, they gave up on him too fast.
Well, so to go out and win games, that's a plan. But you got the second, because I could look at it, Mike, and thank you for the call. If Travis Hunter ends up being good, then I could go, well, Travis Hunter could have kept people distracted. Travis Hunter could have been a threat for you. If you have these two first-round picks, like, it seems like that's insurance where, hey, if we win enough games, then we can still use these picks to move up. But they don't really do business like that. Remember, the same guy who was here in 16 and 17 is still here. So if you haven't done business like that, I just would like to think that you didn't think it worked the first time, or the franchise went in another direction, went and got John Dorsey. You didn't think that that was a good decision. You didn't think it was a good decision to bring in Baker Mayfield. I would think that you're probably going back to that, unless you're challenging your guideposts again. Guardrails, guardrails. Larry in Cleveland, you're next up on the Fan.
Yeah, I just want to say that I think Aditi, she don't like Shador. And they just had some stuff. I don't think Mary Kay like him either. They were just had some stuff on Facebook, and they was talking about how the two women in Cleveland don't like him, and they always talking.
Well, Larry.
Or did they just say he's not ready to be the quarterback of a football team right now?
You gotta be careful what you see on Facebook. I cannot tell you how many fake Brown stories I have seen over the last month on Facebook.
Right. Right.
So you got to be careful if you're looking on Facebook and stuff. I don't think Aditi has anything against Shador Sanders, certainly. And I don't think, I really don't think Mary Kay has anything against Shador Sanders.
Yeah. But I just, and then too, I think Kenny Pickett, you know, he was garbage. I mean, I don't even see why they even brought him in, because, you know, I would have started, in my opinion, just me, I would have went out and got any of those rookies that was in the draft and tried to start them and see what they had before I would have went and got Kenny Pickett.
See, I feel the same way. I feel the exact same way, Larry. Thank you very much for the call. I feel the same way. So, and these guys are NFL coaches. They're surely supposed to know more than me about Kenny.
Yeah, and I get it. If you are in love, and we have plenty of listeners from here and around the country that are in love with Shador Sanders, you're hearing us talk about Kenny Pickett, and Dylan Gabriel is the number two. You're not hearing us talk Shador, and that conversation is going to is especially right up until kickoff in however many days against the Bengals. You're not going to hear anything about Shador because he's not ready right now, according to the Browns, according to any of the reporters. Like, nobody thinks right now Shador Sanders is ready to be the quarterback immediately. Now, do I think Dylan Gabriel is ready early on? I don't think he's ready either, but I haven't been there every day. And I'm not running the team. I'm not there in the rooms, in the film rooms, and in the study sessions, and, you know, all those situations. I'm not there. So I get it. You're going to be frustrated. But if you think, Kenny, these people are frustrated now, imagine if the Browns start out 0-3 and Joe Flacco is still the quarterback.
I'm not even talking about the other two the rookie quarterbacks in particular. I haven't had a chance to really say their names. I'm talking about winning, man. That's what I'm talking about. You're going into year six. You have to put something there on the scoreboard that says you guys know what you're doing. I'm hearing the guys in the afternoon debating whether or not Kevin Stefanski's a real guru when it comes to offense. And there's plenty of reasons why you would say he's not. And then outside of Cleveland, there's a bunch of people, oh, he knows his offense. He knows what he's doing. He definitely knows what he's doing. I don't know. A Browns fan would look at it and go, well, I don't know. Do they know what the hell they're doing? Do they know it? Because it just seems that people just blame the Browns for ineptitude. Well, if they're part of the ineptitude, then I'm sorry. It's blamed right on you now, isn't it? 216-474-0092. I mean, if you're telling me that it was worth it because he could have started, then why are you trading for him for a fifth-round pick that you might not even be able to use? Because you will no longer be employed if you lose that many games. Let that sink in for a second. If part of the argument was, hey, it was fine to bring in Kenny Pickett. It was fine to take away reps from the kids. Why? Well, he could have started. Then why are you trading him for a fifth-round pick that you might not be able to use? Eric in Akron, you're next up on the Fan.
I think the plan is to keep expectations low so that way they keep their jobs. So if Kenny Pickett really...
That's what I do every day.
I think if Kenny Pickett really was, quote-unquote, better than all the other quarterbacks in the room, well, they can't be having that. They got to get rid of that and keep expectations low so everybody thinks Andrew Berry and Stefanski's a genius. They just have bad talent and a bad roster.
Eric, it can't be that. Tell me it's not that, Eric.
I sure hope not, Ken. I really do.
Oh, God. Eric, thank you for the call. Jay in Akron. Jay, hello.
Hey, morning, gentlemen. I believe that Kenny Pickett was just an insurance policy. We looked at our roster early in the year, and Deshaun Watson was literally the only quarterback on the roster. As soon as we got Joe, Kenny was expendable. And my second thought is, I think Shador Sanders is our 2026 draft pick. That's the only reason they're stashing him so hard, keeping him in bubble wrap. We took a flyer on him. I figure they get him in-house, get him in camp, put a year of training on him, and let's see what happens next year.
What if they lose? What if they lose their jobs? What's going to happen?
Then the same thing that always happens. Blow it up, start over again.
So if they keep their job, say they win, how many games do you think they're going to win, Jay?
I think they're in the hunt in October. As long as they're on that graphic, that's all that matters.
Really? Okay. Because I was expecting you to say 5 wins or something like that.
No, we're going to be in the hunt because, honestly, I'm looking at the state of the league. What is the real difference between Pittsburgh and their old quarterback and us and our old quarterback? Are our rosters that dramatically different?
I mean, I've said that, you know, for how many years between us and Pittsburgh? What's the difference? Well, the difference at the end of the year is always like 5-6 wins.
Well, Jay,
it seems like they always find a way.
Do you think they're in the hunt in October with Joe Flacco?
With Joe Flacco, yes. If Joe turns if Joe turns into a pumpkin, then yeah, we're going to do the Dylan Gabriel, Shedeur Sanders, let's see what Bailey Zappe disappointment, whatever that is. But I feel like as long as Joe is upright, we're in the hunt.
I'm not trying to trap you on anything, Jay. It's because I just think we keep – I'd like to think the same way you are, Jay, and thank you for the call. I just think we keep running into a wall here. I know we got to get to about last night. Just let me say this extremely quickly, as quickly as I possibly can. If you're in the hunt with Joe and you're in the hunt with Joe in October, well, Joe's 40 years old. So there's really no future there unless you can convince yourself and he can convince himself he wants to play at 41. Maybe he does. But are you really going to drop the enticement of this rookie class that looks as of right now that it's going to be good? I don't think you're going to be able to do such a thing. Are you going to be able to hold on to Shedeur Sanders even if you do keep your job if you only win 5 games? No, you're going to want to go after one of those rookies because the enticement as of right now is just, it's just too great. So we keep, these are the best intentions for everybody, but we keep running into walls with real life.
Let's go to super friend of the show, Mary Kay Cabot. She is on the fan hotline. So that's what I wanted to say. I got all fluttered there for a second because I'm so excited to talk to Mary Kay. Hi, Mary Kay. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How you doing?
Good. I'm checking quarterbacks. I mean, I'm counting. I'm not very good at math, but I only see 3 left, Mary Kay. What made them make the trade?
You know, I was actually surprised. They were planning to keep 4, but when someone offered them this 5th-round pick, they felt that was good value, and it gives them back the pick that they had originally given up. So, they just felt it was good value and basically gives them a chance to turn to the rookies when the time comes. If it gets to that point, then they can just go ahead and they're going to continue to develop those guys, and they'll take a look at them when it makes sense.
Mary Kay, the way you worded that, they thought it was good value. Do you think it's good value? I don't, to be perfectly honest. I would have rather seen what Pickett could do in a Browns uniform than get a 5th-round pick.
Yeah, I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have done it either. They've used 9 different starting quarterbacks, or 9 starting quarterbacks over the last 2 years, 5 in 2023, 4 last year. And I just think that if for some reason Joe doesn't work out, or if Joe gets hurt, then you do have another veteran. I don't know if a 5th-round pick at this point would have been worth that to me if I were running the show, but they felt that it was good value.
Yep, I agree with you completely, Mary Kay. We're on the same page.
Is there go ahead, sorry.
No, I just, you know, I do understand that Dylan showed them some things, especially in that last game.
Sure.
But I also believe that it just can't hurt to have 2 veterans on the roster.
Is that veteran already on the roster and could come back from injury into Deshaun Watson?
Well, not anytime soon. I mean, he still has a ways to go here. He's not ready to come back. But he will be back. I mean, I don't know if he will actually end up being activated, but I think he will be ready to start practicing sometime in late October or November. So they do have that sort of in their back pocket.
Okay. Deontay Johnson reports that he's not going to make the team. I didn't see anything in games, Mary Kay. They must not have seen anything in practice either. Opportunity lost. Is wide receiver okay without him or just with what they're going to bring back?
Yeah, I think they're okay. I think Isaiah Bond made him expendable. I was kind of pulling for him a little bit. I was hoping that Deontay could get it together and keep his head on straight here and maybe make a go of this because he's a great route runner and I think he can add value to a team. But it just didn't work out. And I think one of the places where he went wrong was when he just didn't show up for organized team activities. I just don't think that was a wise choice by him because I think it set him back in the installation of learning the new offense and all of that. and I don't think it was a good look. I think he needed to be here and show that he was 100% committed to this opportunity.
Mary Kay, how do they look then at wide receiver, and how many are they keeping, and who's staying, who's going? Because you're in, I don't know, we hear little reports here and there, we're trying to figure this thing out. Tell me what that wide receiver room looks like.
Well, it will be Jerry Jeudy, Sed Tillman, Jamari Thrash, Isaiah Bond, DeAndre Carter, and Gage Larbading is what it will be. Caden Davis has been released, and he will end up back on the practice squad as long as he clears waivers, and I think he should. But you never know. I mean, he's good enough that some team might view him as someone they could put on their roster. But if he clears, he'll be back on the practice squad. So that's basically it for now. And I think, again, that Isaiah Bond sort of made Deontay Johnson expendable.
Larbading, I mean, he must have turned a million heads even when we weren't seeing him outside of the games and the practices that, you know, fans were. That's pretty special for him to be able to make this team, don't you think?
Yes, it's amazing, especially because he's only 5'8". I mean, you're around him and you're like, yeah. Whoa, yeah. You realize how sort of tiny he is. But he played big. He made every single catch. He made big plays in the games. He was excellent throughout all of training camp. And, you know, he's got a great attitude, a great work ethic. And I think fans are really going to fall in love with this young man once they get to know him.
They have the second spot when it comes to waivers, Mary Kay, and they'll have that into the regular season. How active do you think the Browns are going to be once they make their cuts, once they, you know, have 16 guys that they would assume put on their practice squad? How active are they going to be in just tweaking things?
Oh, I think they'll be pretty active. Once you have that number two spot, you're going to have a really nice selection of players over the next couple of days. So I do think that they will be active, and this is going to be very fluid, the back end of the roster. So I would watch for maybe some defensive backs. I mean, they could probably use a cornerback or two. There are some positions that they will definitely add to.
Did Luke Fleury do enough to get on the practice squad?
Yeah, I think he probably will be a candidate for the practice squad. He was really good. He did a nice job. And so, yeah, I think you can put him down as a candidate for that.
Does this just, it screams to me that they're looking quarterback next year, and they'll just find their franchise quarterback next year, Mary Kay. Do you have any confidence that guy might be on this team? I mean, could Dylan really step up and be that guy? Could Shador step up and be that guy?
Well, you never know. I mean, you just never know. I think they want to see what they have in those guys, and I think they're very intrigued, especially right now by Dylan with what we saw in him in the Rams game. You know, he really showed some things there. So I do think they want to see exactly what they do have in these guys so that it can help inform what they do in 2026. But I don't think either of these guys are going to have really enough time to prevent them or preclude them from drafting a quarterback next year. Agreed. I think they're going to have to do something with those two first-round picks in terms of a quarterback.
I agree completely.
Okay, so wait, I want to make sure we're all on the same page. Map out what you think, then, is the quarterback route for this team.
Well, I think that this year, Joe will play for as long as it makes sense, and then they'll throw Dylan in there next and see what he does. And then at some point, I think they'd like to try to see what Shador can do as well. And then depending on how that goes, then they will, they'll draft a quarterback next year. I just don't think there's any reason why they wouldn't draft a quarterback next year. Even if Dylan has a really good half a season or whatever, I kind of think you still need to spend those quality choice first round picks on a quarterback in a very rich class. So if you end up with a surplus of good quarterbacks, then you have a good problem on your hands and you can develop them and have a good starter and a backup or trade one or whatever the case may be.
We all know that the running game is something Kevin Stefanski likes. He's used it effectively. Does he have the talent here to do that now, Mary Kay, with the offensive line? I love those guys, but they're all up there a little bit when it comes to experience. Quinshon Judkins isn't here now. Who knows when he'll be here? Does he have the talent on this team to pull off what he wants, or do you think they'll be looking for a running back here as things get cut down?
You know, I really don't. I mean, I guess they could add a running back. I know they weren't planning to trade for one, but they could maybe add one depending on how long they think it will take for Quinshon to actually be on the roster and available to play. So still awaiting that decision. It's been a little bit of a mystery, but he probably will get signed fairly soon. And then if he goes on the commissioner's exempt list, if the league is still reviewing his case, which as of yesterday it was, and if he goes on that list, then, then they will have that roster exemption for him while this whole thing gets sorted out. But in terms of adding another running back, I think they feel like right now they have what they need to get the job done with Jerome and Dylan, and then Amani Marshall will be on the practice squad, and so will Travion Williams. So, yeah, I think they're probably okay, but I also wouldn't be shocked if they add one.
Mm. Defensive moves they might need to make or do or try to go out and get somebody. There's some secondary help they could probably use. Your thoughts on the defense and what they might be able to do or find here before 4 o'clock or right after?
Yeah, I would think defensive backs are always in play when it comes time to look at that waiver wire. So that's one thing I think they'll be looking at. And who knows, maybe they'll even be looking at a kicker. I don't really know about that, but I suppose there is a chance. So that's maybe something to keep an eye on. And then there are a few other positions, defensive line and some things where you can never have too many of those guys, edge rushers and whatnot. So they will have their eyes peeled, and they will, I would say, add 3 or 4 more players.
So I thought Jeff made a good point about the game the other day, because there were a lot of people upset about Shedeur Sanders not playing the last 2 minutes to try to drive the team down the field to get that game-winning field goal when you ended up, having Huntley do it. So my question then is, why do you think they did that? Jeff's point was, hey, maybe they wanted to drive the field and see what was going to happen at the kicker position with Schmidt being able to have the opportunity to win it.
You know what? I think that Shedeur at that point had kind of lost his composure. He wasn't playing within himself. He was pressing, and he was in some respects in harm's way. He was holding the ball too long. And the last thing the Browns needed was for their developmental quarterback to get hurt in that game. And he wasn't really protecting himself at that time, is the way that I look at it.
That's true.
When you're sacked 5 times and you're not even having that many snaps and you can't get a first down, it's kind of dangerous for you to be back there. And plus, you're being protected by guys who are going to be gone the next day. I just don't think that's a good investment in your rookie quarterback. So I think it was the right decision.
It's an interesting thought, and I was just surprised the way that whole thing went down, but I think your thought on that is really interesting. Defensively, is there anything, and I know you guys discussed DBs, is there anything that screams out to you that this is going to be a problem? Are they light at linebacker? Are they heavy on the D-line? I love the D-line, Mary Kay. I think they've got some real talent there.
Yeah, the D-line is going to be really good, so that's not a problem. And then in the linebacker room, I suppose that's an area that they can look at. They've taken a lot of hits in that linebacker room, and they probably could use another body there per se. But they love what they see from Carson Schlesinger. He's had such a nice camp. You may have heard Andrew say the other day, it's like having a 5-year pro back there with what he can do just in terms of making the calls and being the green dot guy. So he's been a really, really pleasant, not surprise, but a pleasant pick for them. And that's worked out really, really well. So unfortunately, they lost Nathaniel Watson for the season. But they've got a couple other decent guys in there. I think they'll keep looking.
Ethan Posick, maybe just, I don't know, what was the latest on him after his injury from Saturday? And do you feel like week one will be Jones, Betodio, Posick, Teller, Conklin?
Well, Kevin said the other day when we asked him that he thought that Posick potentially could be out there for the opener. So he still has 2 weeks. That's a long time for him to heal. That's a lot of treatment that he can get. And so I do think that there is a world in which Ethan can be back in there, and that would be very helpful. He's very, very good. He's got the timing down with Joe right now, and so hopefully for them that'll work out like that.
Good luck the rest of the day. You'll be busy.
Yep. Today, tomorrow, the next few days. Yep.
The next few months.
Have fun.
Exactly.
At least there's always going to be quarterback talk, right?
Oh,
you
God.
Always have that going for you. So
come on. Yep.
It is Brownstone. So.
Thanks, right, Mary Kay.
Thank you. We always appreciate you.
All right. Take care, guys.
All right, we'll
Thanks
talk to you later.
Hi, JP. How you doing?
I'm good. It was really enjoyable to listen back to that because the moment that Kenny Pickett got traded, I just thought of Daryl. And yeah. I, in my mind, I didn't realize that we sounded the way we did when we were talking to him, obviously. But we were so like, that's not going to happen, Daryl.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize how much it sounded like that.
And the truth
until
is,
you play it back.
We can't really just go at Daryl. I got so fed up.
So many people.
I got so fed up with every time we talked. Quarterback, it was, you know, they're going to carry four. And it's like, they're not. They're just damn not. People are like, but you're going to move on from Kenny Pickett? Yeah. He stinks. He's like, we've turned Kenny Pickett into like, I mean, guy, this is the next Joe Montana here.
You're
like,
He's just waiting
for his opportunity.
It's really easy to let go of Kenny Pickett. Adam Schefter's got to be livid.
You hate to see it.
Adam Schefter did the Windhorst, fingers up in the air of like, now why would I be saying that?
Yeah.
He did that motion like seven different times on national television about the idea that clearly he's talking to the right people that would tell him four quarterbacks are going to be in play and it's what they're going to do and they love these guys and it's all for naught because Andrew Berry continues to show you, Nick, time and time again, the game for him is telling lies to the media.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I don't think Adam Schefter gives a rip because in the end, he still gets that those premium, and I mean absolute primo reports like the Browns have just traded Kenny Pickett. So as long, that,
oh, yeah?
Like him being blatantly
that
wrong on this and everybody
out.
And every fan being able to logic through this as media members like, but Andrew Berry said. He said it on Saturday, right? To me, I don't think Adam Schefter gives a rip, and I will just say I was right. We're going to do I Was Right Radio for 5 minutes.
I love I Was Right Radio.
Would you
radio.
Like to say you were right?
I don't know that I'm going to dip my toes in this water, but if we're doing it, let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
I Was Right Radio is a lot of fun.
Yeah, you haven't said the words, though.
I was right.
There we go. Kenny Pickett, we hardly knew you. Maybe those tiny baby hands will be bigger in Las Vegas. I'm so relieved. And listen, I am anti-Kenny Pickett. You know why? It's not about the person. It's about the football player. The football player stinks.
Well, the aunt did bother me a lot.
Yeah, and I mean,
she didn't help his case.
And her name was Karen. How more on the nose can you get than Aunt Karen, who just kamikazes her way into every social media conversation about her stink-ass nephew? However, it's not about the person. No, it's about the thought of, it's about the reality that the second the Browns drafted another quarterback this year, and that wasn't Dylan Gabriel, but the second you took Shedeur Sanders, Kenny became obsolete unless he could unseat Joe Flacco, mm-hmm. and those dreams died the second his hamstring went boom, boom.
Yeah.
So I am relieved. All right. And I wish the kid, I really do. I don't root against him. I don't want him to fail. If he ends up being good at some point in his career, okay, I'll eat that crow when I need to. It ain't today. And so, like, thank God.
Yeah,
thank God we didn't have to waste any time with Kenny Pickett this year.
So I'm happy about that, but we didn't get the full complete win that we would have liked, if we're being honest about it. The full complete win would have been he was healthy the entire time, and then they ended up having to trade him on a day like today because he didn't win out in the Joe Flacco battle. I'm thinking of like people like Aditi and people that went really, really hard in the paint for the idea that Kenny Pickett can still play football because those people haven't been proven wrong necessarily. Those people still live with the idea that this injury is what cost him the job, and he would have had the job if not for the injury.
To me, I don't care. I don't care about the details in this case.
Okay.
Kenny Pickett should have always been the odd man out. He was the odd man out. And more importantly, like, it's really weird to watch social media react to this trade in real time because I want to say this sentence out loud.
Mm-hmm.
You traded DTR in a fifth round pick to Philly for Kenny Pickett. And then 4 months later, you traded Kenny Pickett for a fifth round pick. And the victory lap that people who really think Andrew Berry is just dynamo at trades are like, I mean, you got an upgrade of a fifth round pick.
Yeah.
Like that was like the fourth to last pick in the fifth round.
Yeah.
This one could be the fourth to first pick. It's like, guys, it's a fifth round pick.
I do love the instant grades. Like Ben Solak instantly graded it. And he was like, Browns get an A, Raiders get a D. And
how did
like,
the Browns get an A?
They get an A because
they laundered a fifth round pick.
Here's the funny thing about
DTR.
It.
DTR.
they get an A based off the idea that Ben Solak believes the way that we believe that Kenny Pickett's not worth a fifth round pick. They're like, he was perplexed at the idea that the Raiders would give up a fifth round pick for someone that he called a less than half the amount of backups in the league would be much better than him.
Okay, well, that's a little mean spirit. And I'm the guy that spent 3 years, 4 years making fun of his tiny baby hands. All right, so no, you don't get credit. You don't get credit for salvaging a fifth round pick for a player that I don't know is worth a fifth round pick in the first place that was traded a week before the draft.
No, I think this definitely counts against Andrew Berry. I think the discussion needs to be like, this is one we get to bring up a year from now, 2 years from now, when we're evaluating Andrew Berry in the long term. I think we get to talk about how he wasted a lot of reps and sent it on a guy in Kenny Pickett that it was never going to be the answer.
So, all right, here I'm actually going to say this neither counts for nor against Andrew Berry.
Oh, no. It's a strike against.
But you're coming at it from the Shahiv part of this, which I understand. If my biggest complaint about the whole damn thing is you wasted four practices worth of, at the beginning of camp, of reps that could have gone to Dylan or Shador, and then you the last five practices of camp before the preseason finale?
Yeah, this week they'd already named Joe Flacco the starter, and then they still let him go out there and do all sorts of practices and such.
I mean, that was selling a fight. I think you had to do that. If you had held him out of practice and he hadn't practiced.
It still counts against you, does it not? If you have to try to sell the fight of your mistake to try to cover it up, you're still then costing yourself practices and you're costing yourself reps and opportunities.
You didn't trade Kenny Pickett for a 6-round pick, which would have been then it would have gone against you.
So you're counting this as a net neutral is what you're saying. Yep. This is neutral.
Yep, this is buying.
We cannot bring it up in a positive. We can't bring it up in a negative. It's just something that existed in the time that we have thought about.
Well, it had no impact on the organization. And we're all better for it.
If you brought up, if we're trying to do the big picture of Andrew Berry, and at the end of the argument, you're like, and Kenny Pickett, how about that one? You'll probably look a little foolish.
I can
acknowledge that. But this is not a net positive or net neutral, in my opinion, for Andrew Berry.
This is buying WWE stock at $2 a share, watching it go up, watching it go down, watching it continue to go down, and somehow it lands right back at $2 a share, and you go and cash out because you realize you dodged a bullet.
I've done that with the early cash out options on some of the betting apps.
Yeah.
You know, they give you a little offers early. A reminder out there for kids at home. Vegas is cash out. They're not your friend. They're not trying to be nice. They want you to take the money.
Oh, yeah.
Don't take the money.
Yeah, but Stella, that's the most money I've made. Like the early cash out, because like I remember taking, oh my God.
I know, it's a lot of people have stories like that, but it's not.
You take them as a heavy dog at halftime.
Vegas isn't your friend.
They get back within 10 and all of a sudden you're tripling your money and you're like, that's as much as I need.
That's as much as you need, but the offer is not, they're not doing it to help you out, I promise you.
No, I don't care, but it still helps me out if I do that correctly 9 times out of 10.
And in this instance, Andrew Berry got helped out because the Raiders are desperate and
that's another good point on why you don't get credit for this. If you're Andrew Berry, and again, you don't get knocked for it, in my opinion. But the idea that the Raiders just really needed a backup quarterback because Aiden O'Connell got hurt, that drove probably Kenny Pickett's price back to being a fifth rounder.
Oh, big time.
Despite nothing changing in the meantime, other than his health.
Here's, I'll give the Browns some credit. I do think they calculated for that idea right there, that some backup or somebody was going to get injured and they'd be able to have some of the value recouped. But if you'd have told me Kenny Pickett coming off this injury was a fifth round pick, I wouldn't believe you. And I don't know many people across the league outside of the Raiders even think that that's warranted.
I think if you were banking on the idea that everyone always needs a backup quarterback or that an injury might happen, I continue to say no marks for you. I think he got lucky. And that's good.
They definitely got lucky.
Because I think there's a chance
they're so value-driven
that they could have been stubborn and they could have tried to roster four quarterbacks like they did when, was it Josh Dobbs who they kept after the first cutdown and then traded him later in the week?
The Pastrnak, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, that to me always annoyed the hell out of me. It's like, you should have, that trade should have happened before the 53-man cutdown because you just potentially lost a player you would have kept otherwise.
Should we call up Las Vegas Radio and tell them all the regurgitated takes from 4 months for Kenny Pickett?
I'm available.
Oh, it was Matt Canada's fault. The tiny baby hands aren't really that big of a deal, right?
No, I am pulling the pin.
Where's two gloves?
I'm going to tell you right now, Las Vegas Radio, I will come on your station and I will tell you what we think of Kenny Pickett, and you will not like it. But if you want the honest truth, I am volunteering my time for every Vegas sports talk show that needs me.
Yeah.
Because I will not let these national nudniks, who many of whom are friendly with me, I will not let them continue this narrative of anybody but Kenny Pickett failed in this scenario. Nope, he stinks. He was awfully bad. He was Zach Wilson bad. And I'm so glad that name's not going on the damn jersey.
Which ones that you're friendly with would you like to call a Nudnik right now?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
No.
Just you, there's
blanket,
many of them.
So the blanket, I mean, folks.
I mean, if you want to go ahead and just throw any of them out there.
I don't think so. I can't. Can not one specifically comes to mind.
No,
definitely
okay.
not. No, no,
okay.
no, no.
Just a big group of Nudniks.
Just a big group of Nudniks. I love that, by the way. That's a tough one. When somebody calls you a Nudnik, there's no coming back from that.
Good name for a band. I'm going to see the Nudniks tonight.
That sounds like the worst punk band ever.
I want to go see the Nudniks. They're performing at the Grog Shop tonight.
No, they're not. They're not even big enough for the Grog Shop.
Oh, really?
All right? They're like Harry's Bar in Parma.
Forget Benson Boone. I'm seeing the Nudniks.
These terrible things they've done. 216-474-0092.
Someone was in a Spotify bag today.
I mean,
how much Benson Boone did you listen to
I had to listen to some because Jake is like, that first album hits, and then I had to listen to it.
I don't believe him, by the way.
I just don't believe him.
Well, he's got the backflips, which is fun, but I know, I think it's, I'm convinced Jake's whole relationship is just him doing things that his wife likes to do.
Isn't that most of our relationships?
That's him being a 23-year-old, but he's like got the relationship and the maturity and everything of like a 36-year-old.
Yeah.
Where you just resigned yourself to that being part of life.
Yeah.
At 23, you have a little bit of a revolt. And you still have some control.
I'm going to tell you, it's
you just don't have any at this point.
It's a little high on the hog for you or me.
High on the hog.
To talk about our lives revolving around somebody else.
What I'm saying is you'll get there. Everyone gets there. At 23, you need to have a little bit of a revolt in you.
No, you don't.
And then maybe like 27, 28, you start realizing she's more right than you are. And then at like 31, 32, you're like, wow, she's really more right than I am.
No.
And then by 36, you're just like, okay, I guess she's just always right. So I guess I'll just do what she says.
The sooner that you accept that she settled for you.
Now fight for this, Jake.
And
fight for this.
And that you should do everything, not everything, but most things.
You're a champion, Jake. You're
within the realm of possibilities.
Do this for all of mankind.
It's not going to make a damn thing.
You can't be laying down and going to Benson Boone concerts.
Yes, you can.
You can't be doing that.
We've all done more terrible things than that. Thank you very much. You do it.
I can't think of any worse.
You make her happy. You and I are subservient, not just to our wives, but to daughters. Plural. All
yeah,
right.
No, she controls me way more than the wife does at this point.
In the pecking order of things I want to do on a daily basis.
She runs my life.
Dad's priorities, which are play college football video game, which are listen to Zeppelin or some album that I want to listen to that I haven't listened to, eat awful food. That happens more than because they want to eat awful food too. No. Dad's wants and desires are at the bottom of the food chain in the Wilson household, and you got to get through once everybody else has been satiated. Damn. Then you get to
at 23.
That's
he had
your
a chance.
Future.
He's
accept
got,
it
he's
now.
He's got no chance. You've at 23, got, I can't believe it.
You have no chance. Nope. Give yourself over to the situation.
Fight a little bit, Jake. Just don't fight a little
fight.
Bit.
No. Don't fight it. It's in quicksand. Yeah, congrats, just embrace your early death.
Your vacations are going to New York to see Harry Potter for the 75th
Heaven
time.
Heaven is beautiful this time of year, Jake. You're gonna love it,
man.
Except Benson Boone does stink. I mean, he's just a little fella, and he's like a little gymnast.
He is a little guy, isn't he?
And I'm just like,
he's the Kenny Pickett of musicians.
And he wears like one pieces, yeah, and I'm
Dylan
like
Gabriel of musicians.
Between that haircut and that one piece suit, I just kind of want to beat you up, and I'm not even a violent man.
Just not likable. He's just not likable.
But like, very like talented.
Chalamet's like Dylan Gabriel, like he's short little guy and all that, but very likable. Very likable.
He's a tiny little guy. Is Chalamet likable?
Oh yeah.
What's likable about him?
Oh, very likable.
What?
Charisma. Like you dream of.
He is anti-charisma.
No. Benson Boone is anti-charisma. Benson Boone is just cosplaying
Benson
is all he's
Boone
doing.
Benson Boone is anti-talent.
I see him in Halloween every single year. That's a cosplayer. That's not real.
216-474-0092. Who's more talented, Benson Boone or Timothy Chalamet? Quick hits coming up at 2:40. We got Albert Breer. Get into this whole Chalamet, Benson Boone nonsense with Albert. At 3, the big engagement, trailers engaged. Get ready, guys. I mean, this is exciting. Albert at 3, John Fanta at 4, Kevin Stefanski's press conference right here at 4:30. The lead at 5, and then Lance Reisland, Coach Riz. Cleveland.com at 6 as well, but 216-474-0092. Does the Pickett saga count against Andrew Berry, or does it count for him? I am going to ride the fence on this one, provided it does not collapse underneath my weight. He gets nothing. He gets nothing, and he will like it. And a good sign of how the Browns handled this whole situation is that no one seems 100% happy. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.